Good morning. I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Today we are talking about breastfeeding with lactation consultant Lucia Jenkins. Lucia has a private practice and is on staff at Melrose Wakefield Hospital. Lucia, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning. I am so excited about this show today. Can you tell us about yourself, please?
Well, I have a long history in dealing with mothers and babies. I was a home birth midwife at one point in raising my five children.
Wow.
I did that for 5 years, and I had my beginnings as a registered nurse specializing in pediatrics, and I evolved into lactation care. I've been an international board-certified lactation consultant for 15 years. That's IBCLC, and I have dedicated much of my life to helping women get breastfeeding on track.
Yeah, you were hugely helpful in helping me and helping some of my other friends. And anytime I hear that a woman needs help with breastfeeding, you are the one to call. You are awesome. And I want to just start with the basics. If we could just talk about some of the main benefits of breastfeeding for those who are not familiar, and then we can go on from there.
Well, certainly. What would you like to know? What are the basic benefits?
I think health. Just
okay.
First, basically, health benefits, and then also benefits to the mother as well, because I know there's health benefits for us gals, too.
Right. Well, we've put a terrific amount of energy in researching the benefits over the last, let's say, 15 to 20 years. Breastfeeding is the biological perfect food and normal food for infant human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a no-brainer when you think about all of the mammal species. And what we have demanded as a society is that we have evidence-based research to prove that this is the normal food for human infants. So research has shown over the years that babies receiving human milk have many less fewer infections and diarrheas and all kinds of other things that send babies to doctor's offices. So the healthcare savings are huge.
Mm-hmm.
Ear infections was the first thing that popped up in our research studies that people went, all these babies have much fewer ear infections if they receive human milk. And that led to looking at other kinds of immune factors in human infants' bodies that the first mother's milk, colostrum, seems to stimulate.
Mm-hmm. And the colostrum is what comes out the first few days prior to the milk coming in, is that correct?
Yes, the first couple of days the mother secretes very small amounts of colostrum, which is perfect for the newborn stomach. The newborn stomach is all shriveled up and not ready for a turkey dinner. So Mother Nature has made it so that the little baby receives these little tiny amounts of very concentrated honey-like substance that stimulates an immune response in the infant. Human infants are totally helpless when they're born, and their mother's breast provides for them the immediate first start to ensure their survival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's been developed over since the beginning of time, since we were cave people. The mother's breast providing human milk for a human infant is designed to make the baby survive.
Exactly.
And human babies are actually hardwired to breastfeed.
Yes, they are.
If you put a newborn infant immediately onto a mother's chest, the baby will actually, on its own, sort of GI crawl up to the mother's breast and bob its head around until it finds the nipple and latch on.
Yep, that's what my baby did. And I had known that, but just having it happen, the experience was pretty profound.
Oh, it's miraculous to see. It's just incredible. And when people are allowed to witness that, it's almost an immediate, well, of course, this is the baby's choice. This is what the baby is supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
is to breastfeed. And it's all because it's supposed to contribute to the infant's survival rate.
Exactly. Now, I know that recently there was a bill passed in Massachusetts, and if you can tell us about that also.
Well, let's see. That bill was actually spearheaded by the Mass Breastfeeding Coalition. And it took about 7 years to get that passed in the state of Massachusetts.
That is outrageous.
Well, it's sad that it took that long. It's sort of a comment on our society that we even have to have a bill that protects a mother's right to give her baby the most normal food in a public venue.
Okay, so that's just to clarify. So the bill is about allowing...
Yes, sorry,
yeah.
Bill,
no, that's
yes.
Okay. No, I should have clarified.
The bill makes it so that in any public place where a woman would normally be admitted to come into, no one may prohibit her from breastfeeding in public in that place. And there's actually a $500 fine attached to it. So that means any restaurant, movie theaters, stores, out in public, at the mall, at a park, any place where a woman would normally be admitted. And that means, for instance, if somebody has, let's say, a Polish-American club, a private club, they might make their own policy.
Okay.
But that's, you know, if the woman is normally admitted to that club, that's a point of contention right there.
Oh, okay. Well, all I know is that I'm surprised I was never harassed because I would nurse everywhere at the Whole Foods or at CVS. I mean, I was, you know, I would, somewhat discreet, or as discreet as I could be. But I just, you know, I was listening to some other, I have to say, another radio show recently. And this guy had talked about, I know, my producer looked shocked. He was talking about how, like, oh, they have this entitlement. And I'm like, what are you talking? It's a baby. The baby needs to eat. Entitlement? Like, where do you come up with this stuff? It was outrageous. So,
and mothers are supposed to meet their infant's needs. I have 5 children. They were all completely breastfed. And I never had anybody say anything negative to me either. But, and I breastfed everywhere because I had to, because I had all my children in tow and the baby needed to be fed. So I would just lift up my shirt and slip the baby on, and I don't think I ever showed anything that anybody didn't want to see or embarrass them. People were generally very considerate, and when I breastfed in the middle of a mall sitting on a bench, people didn't come walking by and poke their heads into, what are you doing over there? But it is an interesting comment on our society. When the rest of the world looks at us having to pass laws to protect women's right to do this, they kind of shake their heads and say, what is wrong over there?
Yeah, what's going on in other countries with breastfeeding?
Oh, with breastfeeding? Well, breastfeeding in industrialized countries all around the world is a much more normalized process. It's much, much higher rates of breastfeeding in other developed countries than there are in the U.S. And we've struggled over here. We have set, our CDC has set 2010 healthy people goals for 2010 about breastfeeding. They would like to see 75% of all women at least begin breastfeeding. They would like to see 50% of all babies exclusively breastfed at 6 months of age. That's half of the babies that started. And at 1 year, they would like to see 25% of all breastfed babies still receiving human milk just with solid food added in. And Lisa, I might want to clarify what exclusive breastfeeding is.
Oh, sure, that would be great.
Exclusive breastfeeding has been shown on research to deliver to the infant the optimal health conditions. And that means just breast milk, except if the baby needs medications added in. So that means no formula, no water, no supplements of any kind for the first 6 months of life. Then mommy adds in human solid food to breast milk as she continues to breastfeed. She supplements her breast milk with additions of food, table food for the infant. And then she continues to give the baby breast milk and a human diet up until a year of age, and then continue breastfeeding as long as she wants to. But that first year of receiving of breast milk is very important for infants. Research has shown that exclusive breastfeeding with no formula supplementation for the first 6 months gives the best health outcomes.
Yeah. No, I mean, my daughter, who's 4.5, she only got her first fever recently. She never had an ear infection. She never had a cold. She never had a fever. I mean, nothing. And now, and she nursed it. Now, I'm a big believer in child-led weaning, and I was afraid that we'd be arguing when she was 4, and I was very relieved when she turned, you know, the day after she turned 3, she said, you know, I've had enough. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. I mean, not that it wasn't a wonderful experience, but I think 3 years is plenty.
That's called child-led weaning.
Yes.
And many, many areas in the rest of the world, child-led weaning is the norm.
Yes, that makes sense to me.
Obviously, in the third world countries, that is the norm. It's babies nurse until they decide to wean. And when you look at, when you bring up toddler nursing, it's interesting. Yes. The average worldwide age of weaning, Now, we're taking in account all of those third world countries.
Okay.
So the average worldwide age of weaning is 4 years and 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yep. People sort of, that's old for a United States baby, but there are plenty of toddlers who nurse in the United States.
Yes.
You don't see them a lot out in public because they don't nurse very often.
No, exactly. You know, it's like before a nap or at bedtime. I mean, I think when I would speak with people and they'd picture, oh my gosh, you're nursing your kid till they're 3, or are they eating food? It's like, she's been eating food, solid food, she's 6 months old. I mean, give me a break, you know?
Exactly.
But they get this funny idea that I'm just trying to sustain this huge child on breast milk.
And another thing is that there's also a misconception. No mother can make a baby breastfeed if they don't want to.
Exactly.
When a child is done, they're done.
Yeah.
That's just the way they do it.
Yeah, that's happened to friends of mine where their children, their babies actually, a friend of mine, I think her baby was about 8 months, and she had to stop for like 2 or 3 days, and she was still pumping. She had to take some medication. I mean, she didn't have a choice. She had to take this medication. Mm-hmm. And then she tried to get the baby back on the breast, and they tried, and she was done. You know, she was disappointed because she had wanted to nurse longer.
Exactly.
So you're right.
When we were going back to those 2010 goals, I wanted to bring up something that currently the CDC rates, which will be finalized this August, these are provisional rates for this year, they show that exclusive breastfeeding at 6 months is only around 11%.
That's
the goal is 50%. And this is 2009. So we are failing to meet those 2010 goals. And they had actually set goals for in the year 2000, they've been reset as we don't keep meeting them.
Well, I'm guessing that has to do a lot with not getting the support for new mothers.
Is that correct? It's huge.
If you can tell us about that.
This is one of where I put a lot of my energies currently. Women in the United States have very poor breastfeeding support once they leave their hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly good in the hospitals if the hospitals have been on track about educating all the physicians and all the nurses how important this is and instituting practices in the hospital to keep mom and baby together so that breastfeeding can actually happen. But there are 4 areas that we really fall short in our country that are crucial to helping mothers reach this goal. And really, if 75% of women are initiating breastfeeding, currently it's about 74% of any breastfeeding. That's the majority of women in this country who really want to breastfeed their babies.
Mm-hmm.
They have been given the education. They have the knowledge that this is the normal food for their child, and they want to do it. So here they give birth in the hospital. First of all, our first struggle is that we do not have enough breastfeeding education prenatally available for women that's free.
Yep.
Much prenatal education women have to pay for out of pocket.
That's terrible.
It's a travesty.
It's really horrible.
So here mom delivers. She gets a little bit of help from the nurses, but no one's there 24 hours a day. So she might have a little bit of a rocky start in the hospital. Then she gets thrown out of the hospital, and she's on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the hospital, she's lucky if she gets a lactation consultant who stops in her room every day and assists her with a feeding, at least so that one feeding, by the way, babies nurse normally 10 to 12 times a day in the beginning weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So if mom has assistance with one feeding, that's 9 others that things might be not going okay. So because a lot of hospitals cannot afford to hire lactation consultants for all 3 shifts.
Mm-hmm.
If they're lucky, they have someone there Monday through Friday.
Okay. Yeah, I was lucky because I had tons of problems, and I kept at it. I was pretty darn stubborn, but I was lucky to have somebody come in my room every day and check. And then when I left, I was lucky enough to find you, but I also could afford it, you know.
Well, we've worked very hard at the hospital that I work at, Merrill's Wakefield Hospital,
mm-hmm.
to increase our lactation care. We're very fortunate. Hallmark Health has been very supportive of our lactation program, and we have a lactation consultant there 7 days a week.
Oh, that's great.
Which is incredible.
Oh,
And we've educated, and all the nurses are very responsive, and we keep working on making things better all the time. So they do get direct lactation support.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, the other thing that moms don't always have where we fall short in our country is that obstetricians and pediatricians do not have the amount of breastfeeding education that they need to help nursing mothers.
No, they have free bags that have the formula companies on them. That made me insane when I would go to the doctor and I'd say, no, thank you. I don't want the bag. Just keep it away from me.
Again, we are working very hard with the Department of Public Health to have Massachusetts become bag free. We have quite a number of hospitals now. I think it's up in the teens in the state of Massachusetts who are bag free.
Okay.
And we are working very hard, the Mass Breastfeeding Coalition. You can go on their website, by the way. It's Mass Breastfeeding Coalition, and we've got all kinds of great links. But it takes work to do that, and it's all unpaid work of people dedicating their time to getting moms better care. So we have, that's the first three things that I identified, free breastfeeding education for mom and dad, mm-hmm. direct LC support, education of primary care members so that anybody that mom goes to see with her baby in tow can help her.
Yeah, and the LC stands for lactation consultant.
Yes, sorry, lactation consultant.
Oh, that's okay. No, I just wanted
to
clarify.
And then the fourth component, and this is huge, mm-hmm. is peer support follow-up programs.
Yes.
That are free. We do not have free care for mothers, lactation care. We have La Leche League, which is wonderful. Those mm-hmm. are trained, informally trained lactation support women. But La Leche League groups only run once a month in the evening, and they're usually in a place where a mother needs to drive a car to.
Mm-hmm.
What we lack are what are available in other parts of the world, which are free drop-in peer support programs that are staffed by professional lactation care people. And we're very fortunate. We have a baby cafe in Melrose, Massachusetts, which is funded by Hallmark Health now, which is the first one in the United States.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, the baby cafe was an initiative that came out of the UK in the year 2000, started by two lactation consultants. There are now over 100 baby cafes scattered throughout the rest of the world. The majority of them are in the UK, and they're kind of like Starbucks, where women can go with their baby and drop in. They serve tea and snacks, and they have nice, comfortable chairs and couches and pillows for moms to nurse. And they also have, but this is a component, they're staffed by a knowledgeable lactation counselor. So wherever the mother goes, she gets a high-quality level of care to help her through difficulties.
Wow.
And
Is this located?
It's in Melrose, Massachusetts.
Okay.
It's right down the street from Melrose Wakefield Hospital.
All right.
And it is funded by Hallmark Health, which is the governing umbrella over Melrose Wakefield Hospital and Lawrence Memorial Hospital. And it's housed in the basement of a church, not affiliated with the church. It's the Hope Alliance Church. But they have donated their space to us. And we have this marvelous setup with all these couches. It's very friendly and informal. And the moms come and drop in. We have a digital scale there. And it's always staffed by a lactation consultant who's there to answer questions. And the moms sit around and they support each other in mothering and breastfeeding. And it's wonderful.
I'm done, but I'd still like to go.
Oh, anybody can drop in.
It's like, my daughter's weaned, but can I come and play?
Anybody can drop in. And,
that's nice.
And the mothers, you might have a couple of mothers with 7 or 8 month old babies. You might have a mom drop in with her year and a half old, and she's pregnant with her second child. And then you also have the new mom who has her 5-day-old baby. She was discharged from the hospital 2 days before, and maybe she has some soreness issues, or maybe her milk wasn't in. She can arrive there and get things back on track.
Well, that's great. You know, I wanted to ask you about that. I also wanted to let you know that it's
open twice a week. Wednesday nights and Friday mornings.
Oh.
That gives working moms a chance to come and access us in the evenings.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. I was just, when you had mentioned some of the problems, I wanted to make sure that we got to that.
Yes, sure.
I'm talking
sure.
about that, like mastitis or yeast or,
mm-hmm.
you know, because those, I've known women who have quit because of pain.
Absolutely.
So I wanted you to, if you can touch on that briefly.
Absolutely. When these issues come up, and they sometimes do, I call them speed bumps. in the whole progress of breastfeeding. And many moms face these little speed bumps. You need help to get over them, and you need professional help, somebody who can say, oh, yes, this is definitely a case of yeast, and here's something you can get. Here's something that I can have your doctor prescribe for you, or here's an over-the-counter treatment which can work, and guidance in choosing the right kind of thing to do, and then free follow-up care so 2 days later the mother can come back and say, oh, things are much better, or say, gee, you know what, things have not improved. Okay, then let's take a closer look at this.
Mm-hmm.
We also have made links with all of our pediatricians and obstetricians at our hospital about the baby cafe. So when pediatricians have a problem, they have a baby who arrives and maybe the weight gain isn't what we'd like it to be, they can say, listen, go to the baby cafe. They'll help you get it back on track. And that's something that I think is the greatest success sign, is when a mom comes with a baby who she's been having to supplement with formula, if we can help her get breastfeeding back on track and she becomes free of the supplement and goes on to exclusively breastfeed, that's just a huge success for a mom.
Yeah, and you've been able to help moms do that.
Oh, yeah.
You helped a friend of mine with that, I know.
When we were looking at that, those rates that are currently the 11% rate in our nation now of exclusive breastfeeding babies, mm-hmm. at 6 months, we are able to track our exclusive breastfeeding rates at the baby cafe, and we have an 83% exclusive breastfeeding rate
at
6 months of age. Now, that is obviously, we have 100% of the moms breastfeeding at all. But still, to have mothers come having a situation where they have to supplement and then getting out of that situation and moving into exclusively breastfeeding is wonderful.
That is
wonderful. And then having them continue when they go back to work.
Oh, yeah. And isn't sometimes it's just something as simple as, you know, try the football hold versus this hold. And what about, you know, check their mouth. Maybe their latch isn't right.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, sometimes it's some basic things, too.
Latch is huge. A latch is a very important component of breastfeeding. And if it's just not quite, if the baby's mouth isn't quite wide enough, or he hasn't learned from the beginning how to get into the breast well enough, it can affect two things. The baby has lower transfer of milk. They get exhausted and they just go to sleep. They say, oh, working so hard, it's not working.
Oh,
breastfeeding should be painless, and it should be extremely easy for the baby to transfer heaps of milk.
Okay.
And when the latch isn't correct, it produces pain in the mother because the baby's kind of squinching the nipple.
Oh,
very,
yes,
painful,
very painful.
And the baby's sort of sucking through a flattened straw.
Ugh.
Which doesn't help. So we correct that, and instantly the baby's look, 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 and the mother says, oh, my goodness, this doesn't hurt. This is so
exactly.
great.
Well, one thing I want to mention, too, is my daughter has a particularly high bubble palate. I mean high.
Oh,
and
yes,
it
yes.
hurt the whole
oh,
3 years.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Now, the reason I mention that is because I think it's good for women out there. You know, check their palate sometimes, because I had gone, the first lactation consultant, I was misdiagnosed, and she said, oh, well, you know, it hurts. I think there's yeast. And then I went through a month of all this rigmarole of washing everything, because it is difficult when there is mm-hmm. yeast. It's hard to get rid of sometimes. And I was miserable. And then in the meantime, it was so painful. And then thank goodness for you, I saw Lucia, and wow, she looked at you know, her mouth and said, oh, it's got a really high bubble palate, you know. And so you need that palate, because that's what the nipple presses against. Well, hers just goes straight up. So I just wanted to, you know, let everyone know out there, look at your baby's palate if you're having a lot of pain, because I wish someone had, you know, I was lucky, actually someone did tell me, but, you know, sooner than waiting a month, you know,
oh,
to get lucky enough to find you as well.
Oh, sure. And we see other things. We see simple tongue ties, for instance.
Oh, is that the
short frenulum.
Short frenulum.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And they're very easy to rectify. The problem is that if the mom has been suffering for 2.5 weeks without anybody really noticing it,
yeah.
It really should be noticed immediately in the hospital after birth and taken care of. It's a very simple. You just nick that little bit of skin, and bingo, now the baby isn't tongue-tied. Which, by the way, I will add that many children who are formula-fed And if they have tongue ties, they end up having to be released when they're about 5 years old or so because of speech difficulty.
Better take care of that when they're little.
Sure, it's little, an easy little thing. And way back in our culture when everybody was breastfed, midwives and family practitioners who were catching babies, the general practitioners, they would just nick them right when they saw it. Oh, there it is. Let me just release that. There you go.
I see. Okay.
There's rarely even a drop of blood.
Wow. Now, the one thing that I have found with some new moms is they said that sometimes it can hurt a little bit the first 2 weeks, even if the latch is correct. Is that true? Or
I just wanted to put it out there. Sure.
So,
I like to say that the only thing that's really acceptable is sort of a sunburny feeling as the baby first latches on. And that should be gone after a week or two. And it should also not persist throughout the breastfeeding. So if the baby first goes to latch on and there's a little bit of sensitivity, and that's due to our nipples not having been used like this in this manner before.
Okay.
They're kept quite protected inside bras, and it's just the getting used to that. But that it should never be what I call toe curling pain. And I do watch the mother's toes in the hospital when they latch. They go, "Oh no, it's just a little sensitive." I go, "I don't think so, because your toes are curled up really tight."
Yeah. Now there is cream, some kind of lanolin cream that you can use if you have.
Yeah, there's some different lanolin helps for sort of a little chapped feeling, but we also have a prescription cream that doctors can make up called all-purpose nipple ointment, which is really helpful to a lot of moms and to get through sort of what happens if a baby is born and begins nursing incorrectly. The longer they continue nursing incorrectly with a poor latch, the more trauma happens to the mom's nipple. And the baby isn't learning a new way of latching on.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly true.
And that's where intervention comes in, to sort of retrain this baby. Wait a minute, buddy. It's much easier to do it this way.
Well, I wanted to mention that Laterno's Pharmacy in Andover, they are great, and they actually compounded themselves the nipple ointment that you mentioned.
Yes.
So just to know. And we only have a few minutes left, but I just wanted to touch on the recent article, the case against breastfeeding in the Atlantic Monthly. I was just horrified. And I wanted to talk to you about what you thought was wrong with the author's argument. I read too many Arthur books to my kid. I'm like, what does Arthur think about this? Oh, he's an aardvark. I bet he doesn't have an opinion.
Well, first of all, that article, she didn't check into the research well enough. The best place to look at compiled research is the Cochrane database.
Okay.
This is a group that takes all manner of studies on one thing, and they throw out the ones that are obviously flawed, and then they take out of that bunch that are left, they compile the evidence that comes out, and they come up with a comprehensive sort of final deliberation. That's the place to get the stuff.
Okay.
And I also want to say that all of the organizations, the CDC, the Women's Health Organization, the National Institute of Health, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Family Practice Group, they all endorse breastfeeding and they all state these benefits right on their websites. If the CDC government website says that infants have much better health than if they're fed formula, that formula brings risks to the infant's health, they know what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, and they just recently found an ingredient in rocket fuel that's also found in formula, right?
Yes. Well, and it's probably present also in mother's milk, but at much less levels because cows are eating it right off of the grass, off the ground.
All right. So in this article, basically, it was just talking about with the case against breastfeeding. I mean, this woman was basically saying that it's a prison and that it's we're going back in time and, it's anti-feminist. I mean, it was just, it's because we don't have the support, wrong angle.
And our Parental Leave Act is horrible in this country. And the fact that our insurance companies do not cover lactation care, that's just ludicrous. There are a few that cover a little bit of it, but every single mom should be guaranteed lactation care to breastfeed her baby.
Yes. Well,
free.
Yes, I totally agree. Lisha, you were so amazing. We're out of time, but I want you to come back in the summer because
Absolutely.
This is just so wonderful. And if you can give your information so people can contact you.
Okay, it's Lucia Jenkins, and that's RNIBCLC. And do you want my cell phone, or do you want
whatever you'd like to give.
Okay, I will give you my cell phone. It's 781-507-1980. And my email is LUCIA, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, LA, at AOL. And I also want to refer people to the Baby Cafe website,
okay,
which is the, T-H-E, baby, B-A-B-Y, cafe, C-A-F-E, .co.uk.
Okay.
We also have something that's very important. The Massachusetts Breastfeeding Coalition has a great, that's massbfc.org. They have a fantastic link. It's called zipmilk.org. And that is a site where you can go on and plug in your zip code, and you can get linked to all kinds of lactation resources in your zip code area.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, all of the sites that you mentioned and your contact, it's all going to be on my site.
Oh, good.
Which is itsyourhealthradio.org. And you can also email me at lisa@itsyourhealthradio.org. Lucia, I want to thank you again. And next week, we'll be joined by Jessica Saporetti, Area Director of Communications at the American Cancer Society, to talk about the upcoming Relay for Life. I don't know what's going on with me today.
Oh,
anyway,
cool.
I think I'm just so excited. Have a great week.
Well,
keep being healthy.
Lisa.
Thanks, Lucia.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you.